Sensational. Chris Breezy this morning. So we had a hurricane last night in the Tri-State area or not?
Yeah. It was a lot of rain. It was a lot of rain.
Brother, wind.
Yeah. It was a lot.
We just got like, was it a hurricane? That's what I'm saying.
It felt
like a mini one. But it was crazy out. It was crazy.
But now, I guess it clears the rest of today with clouds. And then the weekend looking all right, man. We'll take it, bro. T-Bros, Lawrence, Rosenberg, we here, man. We about to get into the game that lives up to its name, right?
That's right.
Yes, Lord never loses, because we got tickets to Kid Cudi's Insano Tour Live, Madison Square Garden on Tuesday, July 23rd with Pusha T, Jaden Smith.
You guys going to the Drake show tonight? We was giving away tickets. We sent Hot Rod Rick and a couple of people over there.
Same. I know.
But we got to do.
I don't know.
You trying to take your son, right?
Yeah, I think
that's his favorite artist all time.
It feels like it. He's been talking about him a lot since this battle.
And you should check your email, Shawnee.
He's picking sides.
Shawnee, you got an email you didn't check? Hit yourself with the button, bro.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Got all these Samsung technologies. Can't check an email.
Yeah, I might have to check that. Because he's definitely, he's with Drake.
It's right over at Newark. You got to get over to Prudential tonight. Drizzy in town. And they saying there was a few tickets left. That's how we ended up with some. So make no mistake. It's not like Drake was like, yo, let me take care of my people.
Right.
Nah, we're not his people based on our last calculations. But we here, baby. Who we got on the line? It's Shenanigan time.
We have Kathleen.
Kathleen, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Kathleen, are you one of the people who are annoyed by when people say grand rising? Does that annoy you?
Sometimes, not all the time.
But every now and then when someone's like grand rising, you're like, yo, chill out, man. Good morning, man.
Listen, it's important.
Exactly.
Which is important, waking up or saying grand rising?
Well, you know, the words that you speak on, you want to make sure you use the right language. And morning is a time of mourning. So they try to change the wording to be more positive.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's
not what I... Well, you might want to Google that. I don't think the word mourning is tied to like mourning a death. Right, I think it's two different. I think it has two different origins.
It may have, but people started using the mourning because of the tone or what mourning sounds like when you're mourning, even though it has two different definitions. Maybe spelled a little different.
Does that make sense to you, Laura?
I don't know. I just think it's weird too.
Yeah. I don't think what you're saying is correct, Shawnee Coulter.
It is. I'm telling you.
What are you telling me? But send me I need receipts, man. Because
right.
When you look up the word mourning, like good morning, it doesn't have anything to do with mourning like you're mourning a death.
Correct. But so the origins of how you know grand rising to come from, where do you think that stems from?
I don't know what grand rising comes from. I just think it's grand. It's grand, and you're rising like the sun rises.
Yeah,
no, and you're rising because you just woke up.
Yeah.
But it stemmed from not wanting to use the wrong terms when you speak, because words are spells, right?
So right, but mourning, the word mourning doesn't have anything to do with mourning.
Correct. Correct. There's two different.
So if someone is trying to put a quote unquote spell on you and they're using like morning, like the dawn of a day,
so
it would be an incorrect spell.
All right, Ebro. Producer Griff chimed in, and he's saying it comes from good morrow, which means good tomorrow, and it got translated into morning.
Right. But the people who are trying to be positive, just like they don't want to say hello because hell is low. So you want to say words that are connected to
hell is low.
I'm telling you the energy of where it started from. When you started hearing.
No, he's saying that people. So okay, I get what you're saying now, Sean. You're saying the people who say these
grand
words
rising
are misinterpreting and misunderstanding language, and so they're the ones changing it because they're afraid that they're using words that they don't know the meaning of, is what you're saying.
In some instances, yes.
Yes. Or they don't trust the origin of wording, so they're changing it because they don't trust nobody. So they're saying, grand rising.
Correct. Correct. So, right. So because you don't
want everything to be up. Sometimes people so woke they need to take a nap. I can categorize that under y'all need to go lay down for a second.
But that's the origins. That's the origins.
Grand rising.
Grand rising, because why would you want to have a good morning? You know what I'm saying? That's where it comes from.
People need to go. They need to go lay down, bro. Who else we got on the line, man?
No, we got your man, Mike.
Mike.
Hey, what up, Grand Rising?
Exactly. Because nobody's mourning around here.
That's right. We ain't mourning nothing. And we not say hello anymore either, because hell is low. And we don't want no parts of that.
Right.
God.
We woke.
It's
yo, man, somebody need to take a nap. Yo, what's the first lady's name, bro?
Kathleen.
Kathleen, sorry about that. Forgot your name. I was reeling. I was trying to get my thoughts together after all of this junk information I just received.
People do it all the time.
I needed to delete info.
It's slang. So slang doesn't always make sense. You dig what I'm saying? Grand Rising is kind of a form of people reinterpreting and redefining. That's all that is.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's a slang.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kathleen, who you want to represent you? Me or Laura Staff?
Ebro.
All right, now. I got a couple of W's this week.
It's been a rough patch.
A rough patch.
Let me meditate.
Grand Rising.
Indeed.
Oh, God. 6 seconds on the clock.
That's right.
Shawty with the questions. Let's play Laura Nepa.
Who says she almost released Cowboy Carter before? Laura.
We had this question yesterday.
Beyonce is correct, and that was yesterday. Which iconic ship crashed into Ebro?
Titanic
in 1912. Correct, tie game. Who explains she didn't really quit music?
Ebro.
Ebro.
Lizzo.
Lizzo. She was just playing. What is the smallest country in the world?
Ebro.
Ebro.
Ooh.
Three. Two.
Estonia.
One. Incorrect. Laura Stiles.
The smallest country in the world.
Oh, it's right there between Spain and France. Two. It's that one.
No,
one.
It's like Vatican City or something.
Vatican City is correct.
Yeah, yes.
Who was planning to counter Sue Kanye West?
Ebro.
Counter Sue Kanye West.
Oh.
Two.
Whoa.
One.
Adidas.
Incorrect. Laura Stiles.
Who was planning to counter Sue?
Three.
Was it?
Time is up.
Yes, Jules? That girl just. Yes, Jules?
What are you humming? Is it either yes or no?
It actually is, but the time was up. But Laura wins.
Wait, but that's still had time.
She won at the buzzer.
She won at the buzzer. Correct, correct.
Yo, man, you need to go back to sleep, too. It's your Grand Rising.
Grand Rising.
Grand Rising.
Yo, no more.
Congratulations. You're going to see Kid Cudi for the Insano Tour live at Madison Square Garden on Tuesday, July 23rd.
Pow.
Thank you.
Well, no, Kathleen, you didn't win. What's the other young man's name?
I know.
We love you, Kathleen.
Guys. Have a good day.
All right, take care, Kathleen.
You too.
She sounds sad. She sounds really sad. But where's the gentleman? Where's the fella?
I'm right here.
Mike, with the Grand Rising.
Right here.
See what happens when you use words like Grand Rising instead of good morning? Positive things happen in your life.
You see what's happening?
You know what I'm saying? Stop saying hello, because hell is low.
Speak on it, God.
Yo, it's so stupid. Yo, on the way, flashing lights, Laura Staff.
Say hi.
Coming up in the Flashing Lights Report, Chance the Rapper and his wife are calling it quits, man. I'll let you know about the statement they put out, and we'll cover it all coming up, Flashing Lights.
97 minutes commercial free.
Coming up next.
Coming up at 7 with Ebro in the morning on Hot 97.
Like the way it tastes, and he ain't ate it in a minute. They call me your baby, but I still got hella
Hey, whoa, Ebro, Laura Rosenberg, good morning, Thursday vibes. I don't even know what that means. I know it means that tomorrow's Freedom Friday, I know that. I know it means Rosenberg's down in Philly, WrestleMania's this weekend, and I know right now, It's time for Flashing Lights with Laura Stiles.
So Chance the Rapper and his wife Kirsten Coralie are calling it quits on their marriage, something they announced with a joint statement. They said, after a period of separation, the two of us arrived at the decision to part ways. We came to this decision amicably and with gratitude at the same time we spent together. So God blessed us with two beautiful daughters who will continue to raise together. Mm. And then we kindly ask for privacy and respect as we navigate through this transition.
And then Rasan Baskin, our cameraman on our team, wanted to send us in a group chat as if Chance the Rapper, well, I think the internet's jumped on this too, when he was at Carnival, I think it was, Trinidad last year. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, winding up on ting.
Scene.
He and was. They want to say that that's the reason it led to a divorce. I got news for you.
Nah, man.
I think it was probably on the outs before that, guys.
Right. That's why he was whining on ting.
Right. The way that she said it was that they had been separated for a while. You know what I mean? So
that's that. I think that's that married too young thing. And then people just start changing and life starts to happen.
Yeah.
Because they, I mean, Chance is young too, right? They're both young.
It could also, they were very young. It could also just be that whole, you know, marriage thing, period.
Right. Which is what, 50% success rate?
Right. You know what I mean? It's not easy.
Yeah. And yesterday they were trying to say, like, people were just like, why do the people ask for privacy after they announce it? I was like,
That's a great question.
Because I think they tell you what's happening. Like, we're not together, so stop. You know, because I think people were, like, leaving all these comments on her pages about Chance. And she's like, yo, we're not together. So it's okay, but that's his business. And leave us alone. Or leave me alone. I think really what it is, if you see him with someone else, they're like, oh, my God, isn't he married? You know what I mean?
I mean, it is a different era where if you care about social media existing, which most people do, then people of that level will have people talking about them.
Yeah.
Right.
And speculating. So I get it. If you want to be able to move on.
Anyway, that's your Flash and Lights report. The time is 7 a.m. A high of 50 degrees today. Rain this evening. Alternate side parking is in effect.
Yo, look, man. I ain't got nothing. I got car seats. I got doo-doo diapers. I got...
You still can't get the car seat on?
No, the car seat is rocking. I have to teach the mother of my daughter how to get the car seat in and out of the car, which is its own production.
Yeah, they can get very complicated sometimes.
So that was a whole situation that almost led to tears.
Oh, my God. It's emotional. No.
Well, you know, you're dealing with postpartum and tired and, you know, getting in the baby in and out of the car and worried about it. It's a lot there. I was patient, though. Y'all be proud of me. I was patient. I felt patient and supportive and said the right words. Inside, I was on fire, though.
You said it right.
I said the right things, though. I did.
You have to.
I mean, do you?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if I would have followed up with them describing her this morning as the mother of your daughter.
Right.
You might have wanted to say my lady or my fiance. Right.
Hello.
Yo, Ebro's getting the button at 7:20.
Please.
QHT FM HD1 New York, 97 minutes commercial free.
Coming up next.
Coming up at 7 with Ebro in the morning on Hot 97.
Laura and Ebro and Rosenberg and Rosenberg and Ebro and Laura and Shawnee and Cast and Cast and Shawnee and Louie and Rasan and Laura and Rosenberg and Ebro. We're all with you this morning. We are enjoying this weather moving on because last night's weather was fam. Yo, Cast One, how was it out by your house in Long Island, man?
It was like a blizzard with no snow. It was crazy.
It was like hurricane level, right?
Yeah, that wind was moving.
That's what it was like on my side.
Yeah, it was crazy outside.
I walked outside like, yo, I need to go see what's going on. It was like 11 o'clock at night. I was like, let me go see what is actually happening because this sounds crazy.
Right. I heard it and I asked my wife, I was like, is that the wind outside? That sounds crazy.
I wasn't there for it. I was in Philly. The weather coming down here was brutal. When I was outside, yeah, it was windy actually too. But we live near the river in the city, and yo, at night it could feel insane. A couple of weeks ago, one of the trees outside of my building came down. The big potted trees that my dog is literally always going to pee at.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's just gone.
Yeah, they said about 100 trees came down.
Last night.
In the last couple of days. Because wow. Water, because the ground is so saturated and the wind is
yeah, so right. Rains so much. Man, damn. Well, listen, if you're commuting this morning, I think this wetness is going to dry up and we're going to have a beautiful weekend. So it's a lot of positivity. Don't be negative. If you're being negative, you get this button.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
So all that big Willie talk, you're playing yourself. You're playing yourself. You're playing yourself.
I don't play. I want to give a congratulations, you played yourself, man, to people, mostly people on the internet, but I think there's some sports pundits as well, trying to act as if Angel Reese, the player at LSU, getting to the podium after a phenomenal career at LSU, winning a national championship last year, getting bounced in the tournament early this year, being the kind of face of, like, you know, angst for some and celebration for others, and the whole roller coaster that has been her college career. After the loss, getting up there crying was some sort of like, I don't know, baby act, whining, crying, how dare you get to the podium after playing the villain and feel some type of way. You get the button.
Congratulations.
And why do I say that? Rosenberg helped me with this thought a second ago. She's a human. You know, anybody that's competed at anything at a high level, you know, when you get in the heat of the moment and you're talking trash to your opponents and whatever, it gets emotional. So if you've been there, you understand that. And then you factor in that this is just she's a college student. And she probably thought she was built for the amount of heat that came her way after last year when she was going, you know, and had a very entertaining and high emotion game with Caitlin Clark in Iowa last year, which turned into an international incident because she did the John Cena, you can't see me face thing back to Caitlin Clark, who was the one running around doing it to other teams. But then all of a sudden, Angel Reese becomes the villain. And she leaned into it.
And then she got very popular, and she's in a Glorilla Cardi B video.
And commercials, and NIL money. And
lots of NIL money. And I just think people are so... We have a tendency... It's always a gotcha moment, right? Everything is a gotcha moment. I mean, we're seeing it right now all over the internet. People just being torn down. Because maybe they didn't get everything right, but like human beings are human beings and they don't get everything right.
But also, like, is she not supposed to be emotional? That was her last college game. She's going to the WNBA.
Hello.
Why would you be emotional?
Let her have her moment.
That came after. The announcement came after, but she knew it was that, right?
Right.
So.
But anyway, congratulations. You played yourself to anybody out there who's got a problem with this young lady. And her coming to tears as she sat there after a loss. And mind you, this wasn't even a national championship. She was a champion the year before. And another congrats to everybody out there that doesn't think the way the coverage and the energy from the fans and social media had racial undertones, you get the button.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Like, you're really, really wildin'. You have a predominantly white team against a predominantly black team. And last year, when they lost, the way the Iowa fans, we're talking about Iowa, by the way, came for LSU and Angel Reese was wild. There was articles written calling them the dirty debutantes, the LSU team. And villains. Just happen to be black, and that doesn't have racial undertones. Why were they the villains? And why were Caitlin Clark in Iowa the unfallible, beautiful, pristine team. Why is that?
Although, I don't, you know, I don't want to mess up this theory because it's America, and where there are white and black on opposite sides, there will be division.
But Caitlin, listen, taking nothing away from Caitlin Clark.
No. I'm not even talking about Caitlin. It's LSU's coach that makes this problematic. Because she is a villain. Like, Kim Mulkey is a villain. That is a
thing.
Yeah,
in women's college basketball.
She's her own. So I'm just saying that adds a sliver. And by the way, she's.
But that more played out this year. Last year, it was definitely about the people on the court, not the coach. This year, the head coach of LSU definitely had some controversy.
Yeah, she became a bigger name this year, but it's messed up because this is always what happens. And the players on both sides end up being the victims of it.
And they don't have any beef at all. They were just competing.
And by the way, and then you can't, don't ever forget, hit yourself with the button if you forget about the sexism.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Because you know Caitlin and Angel Reese, it has to be different when they go back and forth in a competitive game because they're women. What they did was so not
regular.
Unusual.
It was so regular.
It was. I mean, it's not. It's beneath what happens in it with Draymond Green every night, 82 games a year. Facts. Like, it was nothing. But it's a big deal because it's women. I'll tell you what, though. I think in the long run, the button is going to be for anyone who's sleeping on women's basketball. I think this moment is.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
There have been a lot of great women's players who have come before, and even right now, we've talked about some of them on the show. Asia Wilson and Juju Iescu.
Yeah. You mean ones that are already in the WNBA?
Yeah, who are already stars in the NBA. There's a lot of great players in this league right now. But you have a chance with Angel and Caitlin. And don't get me wrong, they're different players, different positions. Angel's game is not the crazy
shooting threes,
offensive thing that Caitlin's is. But she's a really good player. And she's really charismatic. And I really think that this thing could be the Larry and Magic that this league needs.
Like,
It was cool. It was very cool before Larry and Magic, but it wasn't what it is now.
Right. Well, I think there's something else, another component that needs to be factored in is this was this wasn't a one season thing with Caitlin and Angel. This played out over multiple years, and so that longer storyline of ups and downs and things really played well, which is why they had phenomenal ratings. I posted something on my Instagram yesterday. You know, just looking at the stats, the Iowa LSU game, which was not a national championship game like last year, this year had 12.3 million viewers. Okay. That's more than every women's college basketball game ever, every ESPN college basketball game ever, every MLB game last season. Every NHL game last season, every MLS game last season, every NBA game last season except one, and every college football regular season game last season except one. This game. Now, does that speak well for women's basketball? Absolutely. And I hope it continues. But it also speaks about this rivalry between these two teams and these specifically these two individuals. And I go back to the racial undertones, which adds a little bit more fuel on the fire, where there's just a little bit more energy. There's good, there's bad, there's this, there's that. There's more of a storyline there. And so if women's college basketball wants this, I hope they don't lean into more storylines that have racial undertones. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
I think this story, remember how much Larry and Magic had a racial undertone?
Yes, it
obviously
did.
Maybe overtones then, right? It was loud. But as the years went on, it sort of changed. You knew they were friends. It became into more of a basketball rivalry. And then, of course, obviously, it's always just idiots on the outside who hype
that
up.
That's right.
In this era, I think that part of it, I even felt it down this year from last year.
That's right.
My hope would be they go to the league. I think Caitlin Clark is 100%. Obviously, she's going first. I believe she's going to Indiana. I think that's the known deal. So depending on where Angel Reese ends up, you hope it just ends up being that you have these two cool pillars for the league who are rivals, and any of the nastiness kind of gets left behind.
Well,
but it's
and
America.
Never, and
so.
Make no mistake, Caitlin Clark deserves it all. She is the highest scoring basketball player in college basketball, period, end of discussion, all time. And she deserves all the accolades. Laura, what you got on your list today?
100%. So you guys know that we have a solar eclipse coming. It's coming on Monday. It's supposed to be a big deal. But guys, people have told you over and over, NASA has warned you, please don't be one of those idiots that goes out there and tries to catch the diamond ring, as they call it, and leave with spots in your vision. You're not supposed to stare at these things directly. They've told you over and over and over not to do that. So I just, you know, I've seen people on social media, like, and I know there's going to be some idiots that are going to try to get it for content. Someone's going to walk away with spotted vision. I know it's going to happen. Please, don't be one. Don't be that person. Don't
be that person and report to us. Let us know how it goes.
Oh, God. Get the button.
So we get the button.
Just don't.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Yeah, Rosemary, jeez. What you got today?
Well, I mean, you know, this segment, as you guys know, covers a lot of different things. We go from the very light to the very intense. And
okay.
We have not spent a lot of time yet on, well, I think we did a little bit, on the death of the seven World Central Kitchen crew members,
Gaza.
Aid workers in Gaza, who were killed by the IDF. When they were completely minding their own business, doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Oh, and add in, approved to be doing what they're supposed
yes.
to be doing by
yes.
the Israeli government and the IDF.
So they're in labeled cars. They're not near anything. This is not the first time something like this has happened. We had it happen with press members several months ago. Do you remember there was a handful of press members?
Well, you know, over 100 humanitarian aid workers and press people have been killed.
You know, I know the press number, I thought alone, was like 90 or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Guys,
so
World Central Kitchen does God's work, bro. All they do, for people who don't know, just Google them. Like, they feed people in the worst areas. Haiti, the Congo, Sudan, Gaza. Like, they literally go out of their way just to provide food.
So they were struck down in cold blood by the IDF. Of course, the IDF is claiming mistake. Everyone who's investigated this is just like, there's no room for this to be a mistake. Like, you can't use the word mistake loosely with military operations.
Yes.
If there's no one else around, I'm sorry, at some point that has to get looked at as, at best, extreme sloppiness to the point of you just don't even care what you do. And at the worst, nah, you just blatantly said they're fine and then killed them.
It's evil.
So,
it's evil.
So
it's evil. Ugh.
So at this point now, Chef Jose Andres has come out. He runs the organization. He
That's
is like
right.
a huge celebrity and big deal internationally, frankly, because
yep.
of his work in cuisine and television. He's come out and called it intentional. Now Netanyahu, of course, is going, oh, no, my bad. It was a mistake. You know, these mistakes happen. Biden has a phone call set with Netanyahu today, his first since this has happened. If this isn't some sort of tipping point, because it feels like it could be with the way people are reacting to it, it feels like this could be a tipping point. Listen, man, I'm telling you right now, I am going to vote for Joe Biden when the general election comes around, no matter what. Like that is where I'm at. That's what I'm going to do. But, man, if this guy can't step up and say what needs to be said to Netanyahu today, if he just simply expresses frustration while we continue to fork over money, like, this is our war too, bro.
Yourself.
This is the U.S.'s war also, as the money and arms continue to be handed over and innocent people continue to die. When is enough enough? So I really, really hope that Joe Biden today says what needs to be said in that phone call. I would love if the U.S. said, you know what? Hey, let me talk to you real quick, Ben. No, BB,
yeah,
let me talk to you. This is a wrap. This is over. We're not participating anymore.
It's not happening, bro.
Right.
It's not happening. It's just not happening. It's not, and the reason it's not happening, and you know the reasons, Rosenberg. I know you're being
honestly. It starts to go beyond. I'll tell you, it honestly starts to go beyond what I know. I don't understand anymore. I don't care how influential AIPAC is. I don't get it.
But then the level of the generational investment of funds in that strategic location, right? Like they still want many people in this country and in our U.S. government still want to be a part of the financial upside of the aftermath, the rebuild. They still want the geographic location. They still are being funded by AIPAC or whatever, you know, religious conservative or whatever the donors are. Like, it's just so...
But do you realize how insane it is? All those things that you just mentioned, all the companies that stand to make money, right? The extreme Christian right, which barely gets talked about in this situation, it's all done in the name of my people.
We've talked on this show so many times about how Jews are just pawns in the game and used whenever it's convenient.
It's about protecting the Jewish people. God, y'all know that what's happening right now is not protecting Jewish people. Not only is it not protecting, not only is it not making, obviously Gaza is in shambles. We've lost, you know, 30,000 people, and God knows how long it'll take to rebuild if it ever can be. But how can you say that Israel's going to be safer? And furthermore, what are you going to do if, God forbid, Islamic jihadist groups start saying, we're going to start doing things, and attacks come to U.S. soil? What are we going to do then? Are you still going to keep supporting it? Are American Jews safer when you know that anti-Semitism is only on the rise because people conflate Israel and Judaism because it's intentionally meant to conflate and confuse people?
And after all this, like, what do you think? How do you think the world is going to feel about Israel?
Yo, Rosenberg.
Is it going to be safer?
Right. Are you really ever going to be able to go back there and feel safe?
Rosenberg.
Yes, sir.
Are we at the point where you have to look at Israel and Jews worldwide and hit the whole thing with the button?
Congratulations. You played yourself.
You mean the experiment? The entire thing?
The whole thing.
I'm asking where my dad's at.
The whole intention, the whole idea, were Jews played from the beginning?
Oh, with the entire operation of...
The whole thing.
We want to be in this space. We're going to sell you on a dream that sounds so great for your people. Isn't this a great idea? You get to go here and... by the way, there are these... My dad tells me about, like, you know, and obviously there are different views on this, and the Nakba is considered the worst day in the history of Palestinian people, and it was a glorious time for people starting Israel. So I recognize that even going all the way back then, there were different feelings on both sides. I get that. But at that time, there were these ideas of people who really believed in what this thing could be. These kibbutzim were literally people came together. They farmed on their own. They made their own food. They took care of each other. They built relationships with Palestinian people on the other side. Like, there was wonderful things happening. That is in such shambles at this point, Ebro.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and now you have there's so many people with their paws in it. Yeah, you could argue the entire thing is a congratulations, you played yourself. It's unsustainable moving forward.
Didn't you see the videos of people in Israel protesting and getting beat down
Laura,
by the police?
Laura, the video you sent where that woman was getting roughed up, was the daughter-in-law of a hostage.
I know. And she wasn't getting roughed up. She was getting beat, like brutally beat. Because I saw other videos and I was like, and you know what? All the comments that I saw are people like this, everybody was completely against it. And I just feel like there's a lot of voices in Israel who are completely against all of this, too. And they're silenced.
But by the way, this is the other part of the congrats, why I say the whole thing's a congrats. How is Netanyahu still in charge when prior to October 7th, damn near I think it was 60% of the country wanted him gone. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were protesting the man every weekend before October 7th.
But listen, you can say a lot of things about Bibi. He's pure evil. I hate his guts. He's not stupid. He knew this he knew what was going to happen, and he's never going to stop, because if he stops, The second this whole thing stops and that enraged patriotism that you can only create with war, once that dies down and people go, so what really did happen on October 7th? Was that?
He knows people have short-term memory.
So you got to just keep this war going so no one stops to do that. This is literally, this is his thing. And him and his cronies, this is their thing. They don't care about the hostages. Listen, just like we know Hamas does not give one damn about Palestinians dying in Gaza as they sit in Qatar and don't even, not even there. They just want to keep bringing in money and raise their cause. That's the same thing right now that Bibi and this government's doing. They don't care either way. The war just has to keep going.
Using people.
You have a war happening, guys, where neither side truly cares about the people who are involved.
Netanyahu's family, Netanyahu's son lives in Miami, like South Beach or something?
Yeah.
In like a multi-million dollar condo, just chilling?
Yeah. I mean, listen, Bibi's American, essentially.
Yeah. Went to NYU.
Yeah, he moved there when he was like 20 years old, bro.
Hit the button.
Bro. Yeah, just hit the button.
It's all. It's all.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
It's all. It's all a congrats.
Oh, preemptive congratulations to the tweets I'm going to get in a few minutes.
You don't understand. You don't
get
it.
No, there's
going to
be both. No, I'll get both. I will literally get people saying I'm a sellout and I hate my own people or I don't believe in October 7th. Mm-hmm. Obviously, all those things are insanely false. And then I'll get other ones saying, shut up, Rosenberg. We're tired of hearing you be pro-Israel. And I'm like, wait a second. What are you hearing? What are you hearing?
Yeah, listen, man. It's time to beat the buzzer. You want to get paid? You want to get some summer jams? We got it laced up for you. Cast one. I think, look at Juanito asleep.
John,
is he asleep?
He was definitely nodding off. Look at Juanito asleep. This is what happens too. I wonder how many people tuned out when we just had that combo. Fell asleep. We're talking about real things. Literally a government that our government finances.
Yeah,
and uses is murdering people real time, trying to wipe out a genocide of people right now, and people are like, "Yeah, I'm cool." They have no idea how this affects them.
He was tired.
Right. Cast one, I think it's time for some Beyonce, man. Hit me with some Cowboy Carter this morning, man. It's Cowboy Carter time.
You got so many choices, Cass. Just do something good.
Just pick something off the Cowboy Carter as we get people on the line. And also, Laura, you sent us a remix?
Yeah, Beyonce posted a little clip of a remix last night. So I sent it to you.
Is that supposed to be? Do we have a release date?
It could be out. It could be out.
I looked on the stream. I looked on Apple Music this morning. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's on the streams.
It's already up. Do you have it?
You got it? Do you got it?
I don't have to clean it.
John, is it in the system? Wake up.
Okay, we got to get it.
You didn't put the Texas Hold'em remix in?
I put it in the chat, but.
Was it dope, by the way? I didn't even peep it yet. It's dope.
It only gives the first, like, 30 seconds, so I can't really.
It starts off as a regular song, then it. Kind of like double time to a faster joint. It's good.
We'll get it for y'all.
All right, all that's coming up. Some Cowboy Carter for you right now. Ooh, tune. Jolene. Beat the buzzer next. Ebro, Lauren Rosenberg, good morning. It's time to beat the buzzer. On the way next to Flashing Lights with Laura Stiles. What are the big stories you're working on today, Laura Stiles?
Sounds stressed. Yeah, you know, it's the Diddy drama continues. You know, according to reports, I don't even know how, if this is public or not, but obviously TMZ is reporting it, but they're saying that Cassie is cooperating and a lot more. So we'll dive into it coming up, Flashing Lights.
All right, right now, though, bring in DJ John. Bring in the tunes.
Yeah. Uh-oh, it's DJ John.
Johnny.
DJ John.
Johnny.
DJ John.
Here.
DJ John.
Johnny.
DJ John.
Ladies and gentlemen, DJ John is here. John, talk to us. What you got going on, man?
Like right now? Oh, we got some money.
Uh-huh.
And we got tickets to Summer Jam. How about that?
Were you falling asleep earlier in the studio?
Well, last night was a bad night.
What happened?
Power went out. The wind was waking me up throughout the whole night. Yeah, it was just crazy, smacking me up. And we have this like the out of this glass table in the back in the by the garage, and the wind was so strong it lifted up and it shattered the whole glass table.
What?
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah, trees were all over the place. It was bad.
Damn. You all right though? Family's good.
Yeah, family's good.
We had scary.
We ended up playing some horror theme music last night because it was all lights out. So I had the flashlight on my phone, maybe like a horror scary guy, and then coming in playing some horror music. That's a fun time.
Trying to have some fun. What time did the lights go out? Oh. I mean, the power went out.
7, 8.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still light outside around that time.
Yeah, around like 8 o'clock. I'm gonna say 8 o'clock when the lights went out.
When they came back on,
they're still out. I literally called Con Ed, and you know you have an update on the app, and then they send you notes. Alerts on a text.
I wonder how many people are without power. Griff, can you get that info for us this morning, please?
And the last update I got, at 5 o'clock today, I will get my power back.
5 p.m.?
Wow. 5 p.m.
Yeah,
do you know if it happened to your neighbors, too, or just you?
Yeah. Oh, the neighborhood, yeah.
The whole neighborhood. Okay.
There was like a 24-hour CVS nearby. And you got, out.
Will the food still be good? I think the fridge holds cold for a little bit, right? The fridge holds cold for like 24, I think.
Yeah, it should be good.
Man. Well, hold your head, John. It's terrible what happened to you. It's terrible. Just terrible. Wayne is on the line. Wayne wants to beat the buzzer.
Wayne Brady.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Wayne. Griff reports 3,000 residents in Jersey are without power, and about 15,000 people in New York are also without power. And King Lou says he's got people on his team that are having intermittent power outages the last 2 days because of the rain and weather. So it's been a mess out here. All right, Wayne, you know what you got to do to get this money, right?
Yes, sir. But like always, I'm going to need all the help I can get. I appreciate it. You know, you be cheating for us.
Hey, listen, man, we're about to cheat. Listen, we're going to get this money, bro. We cheating. We are cheating. Listen, it is time for Wayne to beat the buzzer.
$150.
Okay, they coming in hot.
$210. $280.
All right.
$370.
All right.
$420.
Oh, 420, stop. 420. You got the 420, man. Shout out to all the smokers worldwide.
You're ready. I'm really good.
You got to roll something, fold something. You know what I'm saying? Damn, 420. Plus, you getting tickets to Summer Jam, my guy. Wayne, you getting laced up.
That's a perfect combo, man. I'm going to see you guys there.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Let's see what else was left. Let's see how much money you missed out on.
$470.
All right.
$550.
$600. Oh, not bad. Not bad.
Not too bad.
You left $180 on the table. Not bad.
Yeah.
Wayne, 420. Summer Jam tickets. David O. Doja. Sexy Red, Offset, Red Method Man. I hear Red Method Man working on some crazy guest performances, too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Getting crazy. Yeah, it's getting crazy. So, Wayne, hang on. If you're not on with Wayne right now, you got to come back to us right after the Gurus at 8:30. We'll do another round of Beat the Buzzer. And Laura Styles has Flashing Lights next. Cast One, 97 minutes of commercial-free music is on. Ebro, Laura, and Rosenberg, good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, you ever hit the button with yourself when someone points out, like, your camera on your phone looks nasty. You should clean it. And you're like, oh, really? And then you take a little thing and wipe your thing, and it literally looks like an entirely new phone.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Yo, bro, do you guys see how much better my camera just got? I wiped down my camera on my computer like it was glasses, and my camera just became 5 times better.
Clean.
In 1 second.
I mean, it's very visual what you're describing on an audio platform, but I appreciate it.
Everyone's had the experience. And by the way, Ebro, you don't relate, okay? You don't understand me and my glasses community. We have to wipe our lenses all damn day. Laura, do you ever stop wiping down your lenses?
I'm wiping and wiping.
Well, listen, I'm wiping and wiping. I got diapers over here, so there's a lot of wiping going on. Just not glasses. I'm wiping asses, not glasses.
No, by the way. By the way, I'm good right now, my G. I'm enjoying this glasses.
Stick to the glasses, not asses. Yeah,
just for now, man.
Just for now. Let's go flashing lights, Laura Stiles.
Laura Stiles got the 411 on the flashlight.
Are you ready for the flashlight? Laura Stiles can put us on.
According to TMZ, they're saying that Akasi is among the witnesses the feds have been in contact with in connection with the Diddy investigation. They're saying it's not only her it's that are cooperating, it's also all the others who've sued him. And they are speculating that maybe it had to do with Diddy's home getting raided. But, you know, I mean, look, it wouldn't surprise me. Did you guys see Misa Hilton actually spoke out? She basically just spoke out on the way they handled the kids, you know, during the raid, like having the kids out in handcuffs. And she just pretty much felt like, yo, if it was a bunch of rich white kids, she truly doesn't believe that it would be handled the same way.
It's kind of hard to disagree, to be honest.
Yeah.
And there's, listen, man, they put guns on them boys.
Yeah, like that's crazy.
Handcuffed them. There was no violent, you know, situation at hand. Maybe because one of the allegations had to do with some illegal guns. Maybe that's going to be their justification.
Well, I was told that's why they have to show up with, like, the intense armor and guns with them. I get that if there are guns in it, you have to show up prepared. But did you have to? Once they clearly showed they're not any threat to anyone, do you still have to be handling it that way? I don't know. I think the feds may have messed up too, guys. I think this could blow up in their face.
You think
because
so?
Because as much as I think Diddy, it very likely did some horrible things as outlined in the Cassie case.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these other things they're saying, the big words they're throwing around, the conspiracies and what's the word they're using for the drugs and the guns? The loose word they like to use?
Trafficking.
Trafficking. Right.
The trafficking talk. Like the dude who they said was a quote, mule. Well, yeah. I mean, he just looked like a drug dealer to me, my guy. I don't know if that's is that a mule?
He didn't even look like a drug dealer.
He just looked like a guy.
I mean, and what they found on his person was just kind of like he had some drugs. It's not like they found pounds.
By the way, just to be clear, I am in no way morally... I have to, because you have to be very clear. I don't want to make anyone confused. I am not morally in any way suggesting that I think Diddy did nothing wrong and he's good to go.
Right.
What I'm saying is it sounds like some of the big words that the feds are using, I don't know if there's really going to be that there. And they may end up playing themselves by going so hard against a guy who has a lot of money and a lot of lawyers. If they weren't all buttoned up exactly right, I don't know, man. The way that they broke down those doors, that didn't all seem very intense.
It did seem very intense. It did. And we're going to see how it plays out. They're going to, I mean, according to Cassie's attorneys and what was reported there, you know, and their how they spoke out, they said they're participating with the government. So let's see how this works out. Yeah. But Diddy's got money. And so,
that's my point, though. You better be ready to go. Diddy could go to war with people financially if he had to.
Yeah.
We'll see how this plays out, but that's your Flash and Lights report. Time is 8:03. A high of 50 degrees today. Rain this evening and alternate side parking is in effect.
Briefly, I don't want to turn it into a whole topic just because I'm just not in the mood. But a second ago, Rosenberg, you and Shani were talking about voting for Biden and people who were kind of apathetic on Biden and maybe either laying out or voting for Trump. Because they see Trump as kind of like a candidate. It was like, look, we dealt with 4 years of him once.
Right.
You know, a few hundred thousand people died in a global pandemic took place. But no big deal. We survived. if we got to vote for him again. He couldn't fill, like, you know, 40 cabinet positions, and it was a disaster of an administration. Well,
the Supreme Court, a couple of Supreme Court justices that'll change the future of our country. The tenor of racism that took over.
No big deal.
Voter suppression.
No big deal, guys. It's not a big deal. It's not going to affect me. I got a PPP loan, and I got a STEMI check. You know what I'm saying? But what are you talking about?
Well, the conversation started by saying nobody's going to convince either side to change sides.
At this point, is
there any change in sides?
I do want to point to something that's been circulating for a while. I've been watching it. I've never reported on it. It's something called Project 2025. And it's a conservative group of individuals. It's a mandate for leadership. It's called the Conservative Promise and how they're going to take over the government. Many people in the GOP and many people who are Trump supporters are ascribing to this agenda and policy. So we're not going to get into it today. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about it in weeks to come as media starts to cover it. But if you want to look it up and read it for yourself and see the people involved, you can look up the Heritage Foundation if you've never heard from them before. You look at the people who are on this Project 2025, and you can see if you see yourself there, if these people look like you, and you think they have your interests in mind as they prepare to take over the government in 2025. So look it up for yourself. It's Ebro in the Morning. It's Laura Stiles. It's Rosenberg.
WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
If I lose me, he's stupid. Body good, I should be a nudist. You wanna take me somewhere secluded with a private beach and masseuses, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here at Rosenberg with the button. This is an extended congratulations. You played yourself.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Well, because he didn't hit me with the congratulations. I played myself an hour ago.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Because remember I said, you know, the only thing going on in my world was trying to figure out how to get a car seat and out of a car. And the fact that things almost came to tears. But I was patient and I was supportive and I used the right words as I tried to assist my woman, my lady, the love of my life, in putting the car seat.
Said it better this time, yeah.
Good. Good.
That's right.
Because those things seats will test you.
Yeah.
They'll test you.
So I was there. Well,
they're so like advanced, and then when you get to them, you're like, what the hell is impossible?
Well, so here's the deal. When car seat selection and stroller selection took place in this household, she did the research. She wanted to pick the one she wanted. So she picked the one that is the car seat / stroller, which means you could put the car seat in the car. You put the seatbelt through the little things across. You put the across around the back, and then you clack, clack, clack.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then when you're on the go with the baby, you can, take the car seat out, and then you unfold the little stroller piece, snaps right into the stroller, and you go on about your business.
Two-on-one combo joint.
Two-on-one combo jam. Because the other option is you have the designated car seat and the designated stroller, but those strollers are cumbersome to unfold and get in and out of cars because boom, boom, boom.
So, it's a lot to carry.
And it's more to carry, etc. Yes, yes, Laura, yes. So anyway, that's the car seat that we're using in her car. At any rate, we wanted to do a run through. It was like, listen, you know, you got some appointments. I got to go to work. So let's go on down here together and work this through. Baby in tow, baby in the car seat. We're gonna do a, what do they call it? Like, a drill. We're going to run a drill here.
So you practice with the baby in the car seat?
Yeah, it's a full drill.
Fire drill. Full fire drill.
Selassie
full
was drill. In. Like, dress rehearsal.
Dress Selassie. Clicked everything in. Yeah. Down the hallway.
Okay.
Off to the car. Boom. Right,
full dress rehearsal.
Yeah. You know, working through, unclip this, clip that, clip this. When I tell you the frustration on her face, she was like, I can't go anywhere. I'll never be able to go anywhere. This is way too hard. Why do they make this so difficult? what is going? I mean, literally almost brought her to, she was like, you know what? I need to come back another day. I need to do this in another day. And shout to Selassie. The baby was asleep, chilling.
Okay,
she was like,
okay.
Imagine on a rainy day. Imagine if I had groceries. What about my purse? Oh, I'll never be able to do this in heels. I'm just not going anywhere ever again.
Here we are.
Here we are. Listen, 800-223-9797. Did the car seat break you down? Was the car seat the breaking point? Because it is a thing. And your dexterity has to be official.
Yeah.
Your strength, yeah, and your ability to have. And then, and listen, even for dads, like if you're a dad out here, you got the car seat in your car, and you yank the baby out, maybe the baby done doo-dooed, you're changing the baby in the back seat, it's raining outside, the baby done threw up, where am I putting it? I mean, there's so many you could just, it can be a complete disaster, and it will occur.
Yeah.
There will be a day where it's a complete disaster.
Me and my man, we had this stroller car seat combination called the Duna, which is really state of the art. Like it literally, like
I think that's what we have.
No, because I asked.
What do we have? The Duna.
You have something else, yeah? Because I was like, girl, I was about to send her a link. This is what helped me, but she has something else. I think yours is more complicated.
Uh oh.
But.
So
mine is
hit my lady with the button for picking the complicated joint.
Well, she don't know. She didn't know. It's her first time. I asked all my friends. I did research and I was like, I sat there with Ricardo and we practiced. We watched all the videos. We practiced without baby, then with baby. Then we went down to the car and listen. I feel her because I was like, what am I gonna do when this gets stuck or when I can't push the button right or my nails or this?
Yeah, but what
or
you're telling me right now is she actually knows someone that had experience and could have gotten the referral to an easy situation.
Don't do that. She
and
didn't.
Why?
No.
Don't do this.
No.
Don't do this.
No.
Don't do that because you don't know. Like, you don't know. Maybe she thought that was best for her. Yeah. It's okay. Ebro, stop it. Don't do that.
You might have went too hard with the full dress rehearsal. You might have had to do it like Laura and start it in the house.
No, yes. We already did a house rehearsal. Oh, that had already happened.
Okay. Yeah.
We did a house rehearsal.
But the dress rehearsal is important because one thing is when it's light without the baby, you can shake things around, Cass.
Right.
When the baby's in there, you got to be way more careful. So the dress rehearsal is important. I think you did the right thing, Ebro.
But, and by the way, we had already did the build in the house many weeks ago because the build in the house took place because they wanted to go for a walk and figuring out how to get the carrier in the stroller, out of the stroller, folding the stroller, turning this way, doing this thing that way, hit this button when you're supposed to do this, the brakes to this, to that. So we had already done all that. That took place. But yeah, yeah. The stroller was a breaking point.
It's hard. It's hard. I can't lie.
And the car seat is a breaking point for people.
And then you're paranoid, Cass, because you're like, this has to be done right because God forbid anything happens and I didn't do this correctly. It could be, you know, horrible. So you got to make sure.
Well, and then you think, what were people doing 20 years ago?
I know.
Because if this is the new versions and these are supposed to be the easy versions, what were people doing 10, 15 years ago? And then you forget, right? Because I did this 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Did it get harder?
I don't know. I can't recall. Like, I don't know what it is with the parent brain. Why can't I remember what I went through? Was it so traumatic that I blocked it out? Do I need to go to see a therapist? Do I need, what's the place you promote, Rosenberg? BetterHelp? Do I need to go to BetterHelp?
I need BetterHelp. Promo code Rosenberg.
I think as parents, we block out certain trauma and certain things just to survive, bro. Because, Shawnee, you have multiple kids and you forgot a lot of things.
I remember wrestling in the back seat. And being frustrated and sweating. That's about it. You know what I'm saying?
Kenza is 3 years old. People ask me things. I'm like, you know what? I don't remember.
The details.
And it just happened.
Yeah. I know. I had to sit there and think about, oh, yeah, that was a horrible time. Now I know why
the stroller
blocked
could break
it out.
You, stroller horror stories. Let's go to Karina on the line. Karina says she had a horrible time. Karina.
A horrible time. Good morning. Good morning.
Did the stroller break you down? Did the car seat break you down?
Every single one of my kids, the stroller broke me down no matter no matter how easy they think they put it, listen, I have a 15-year-old, so back then it was not an all-in-one stroller.
Right.
So it was harder. They were always heavy, but I have the same stroller. I have a pretty much newborn. She's a year. And I have the same stroller, the compact one, the Duna, the one that I use. And listen, at least you guys had, it wasn't raining. She wasn't in a rush to go nowhere. It was just a drill.
Right.
But listen, when you got somewhere to go and you're trying to get that stroller in and you can't move the baby, it's like the hardest thing in the world. No matter how easy they think they put it for us, you're always breaking sweats. Always.
Hey, yo, listen, and what are you going to do? Thank you, Karina. What are you going to do? Like, if the seat is too complicated and you're with the baby, are you going to take the baby out of the car seat, lay the baby on the back seat, hopefully they don't kick and roll over onto the floor while you put the car seat in the car? Like, you're stuck. The baby's in the thing.
The baby's in the thing. You're stuck. Yeah, yeah. And listen, it's happened to me where my baby's a winter baby. It's happened to me where it's like freezing cold outside and I'm putting her in the car. God. And the baby starts yelling for milk and forget about it.
Oh, so man. Thank you, Karina. You know, thank you so much.
Okay, have a good one, guys.
Thank you. Let's go to Sasha. Sasha had a horrible car seat experience. What happened, Sasha?
Hey, good morning. So,
good morning.
I actually just given birth. Uh-oh. My husband was having a hard time getting a car seat out the car. I had the Even Flow 360 turnaround car seat. He couldn't get the car seat out the car, and he wasn't able to get the car seat up to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, they won't let you take the baby home.
Baby out the hospital. Yes. And you know you can't leave the hospital without a car seat. They almost wouldn't let me get the baby home.
Yeah.
So I had to wheel me and my newborn baby out to the car to him.
To verify that you had the car seat. Wow.
Because he couldn't get the car seat out the car.
Yo, hilarious. Hilarious.
Yo.
No, it's a problem. Yo, the car, and by the way, for the car seat that we used to get Selassie home from the hospital, I ran a drill on that one too. I went down, set the car seat up myself. I was like, all right, boom, I'm going to do this. Okay, boom, boom, pow. And then had to, you know, obviously when we're at the hospital, go down, get the car seat, bring it back up. But I was ready. I did my prep. I watched a YouTube video because the one car seat that they got or that, you know, Jazz decided was for my car has like a platform. You lock the platform in and then you lock the car seat onto a platform that's locked in.
Right.
It's like a whole other situation. So I had to go. I was like, wait, whoa. That's all.
Right.
Let's go to Brandon. Brandon, what happened, man, with the car seat?
See, bro. I think me and you got the same car seat, and that was almost the end of my relationship. I'm looking at my wife while we had bye-bye baby trying to get the car seat out. I can't unfold it. I'm like, why she get this bougie-ass car seat?
And Brandon, you know they pick things based on color and how good it looks. Oh, this looks nice. Oh, I like
not
this
all
color.
The time. Don't say that. Don't say that because I didn't. I was like, practical, please, easy and effective. That's what I was looking at.
It's got to be a certain color.
It fits the dark aesthetic of the car, and I'm like, nah, this is a Cadillac of car seats. It takes up the whole trunk of the SUV.
Cadillac car seats is nuts.
Nah, I can't. You're not bugging me, bro. I'm in the same boat.
Yo, man, thanks for your call, Brandon. Thank you so much. And, let's go to Amanda. Amanda has a way to make things easier. Let's take some insight from Amanda, who sounds experienced. Amanda, talk to us.
Hi. Hello?
Yes, we're talking about disastrous car seat situations. Amanda, you're on.
Yes. So, Ebro.
Yes.
Here's the deal. The probably not the hardest thing about being a mom is going to be this car seat.
That's right. This
is good practice, and you've got to remind her about that. And until she's ready and feels comfortable and like it's routine, you got to be with her.
Okay.
Just, that's it. You got to be with her. You got to put the baby in. You got to take that responsibility until she can get a little bit of sleep because that is a big part of it.
That mommy brain. The mommy brain. The mommy brain's a thing. And here's the real kicker that my lady's dealing with. She got carpal tunnel in her wrists due to pregnancy, which is a thing that moms get.
Yeah.
And then they have a thing called...
I have it in my elbows.
Yeah, then there's a thing called mommy wrist. So she had the carpal tunnel, then you're breastfeeding, having to hold the baby, so your wrist. So then now your wrists are in shambles, and you're trying to figure out the dexterity to get this seatbelt to work around, over and around and back. And then you know how the seatbelts, when they lock on you, you got to, like, pull it to it.
It
just kept... It was a disaster, bro.
Ebro, it's all on you for a couple months. It's all on you.
Thank you, Amanda.
Ebro, you got it. With Laura Styles and Rosenberg.
Yo, my man.
Oh, my God. It's hard out there.
Yeah, it was crazy, bro.
I know.
Cast one, hit that like that. And then the gurus... our next, thanks for your call. Yo, Ed, love, bro. Appreciate you. Didn't get to your call. Crystal, big up. Beat the buzzer after the guru.
Met a couple ball players, found a ball stance.
You, Ebro, Laura, and Rosenberg. We are here. They say sun is pulling up, man. That's what they saying. Let's see. Last night was a situation with the weather. Today, looking like a high of 50. The rain is gone. There may be some rain this evening again around 8 o'clock. Right. Friday was supposed to be cloudy with a little bit of sun. It remains high 49. Saturday clouds now, but Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday looking like sun. Let's get to the guru.
Hey, yo, it's time for the guru, Shiny Culture and Rosenberg. And Laura, you know you are a beautiful queen. Ebro, don't ever play yourself. You're not a guru.
The guru at ebrointhemorning.com. The guru at ebrointhemorning.com. Where the gurus unite.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
To fight for what's right. Shiny Culture,
that's what we do.
Let's burn the sage.
Let us cleanse the energy.
Rosenberg, we do some breathing exercises and tell us who is out there in need of los gurus.
Zen, 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 zen,
I got to tell you, by the way, guys, as we do these breathing exercises, yesterday I had the pleasure of stopping by to get a little guru snack at a place called Down North Pizza. Okay. In North Philly.
Okay.
It is owned and operated by all formerly incarcerated gentlemen.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But let me tell you, it's a wonderful story. But even more wonderful than the story was the slappingness of the pizza.
Talk that talk.
And Ebro, you know, it's Philly. They don't do any pork nonsense. You know what I mean?
That's right.
All the meat that they have as beef, turkey, lamb products, things of that nature. And all the pizzas, by the way, are named after classic Philly hip hop records.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, that's fire.
The Break You Off, slamming.
Fire.
No, the What We Do.
I was gonna ask if they had a What We Do.
Wait.
Have a What We Do.
They have to.
Wait. The Flip Side. Yo, Cass, they went further than that.
Did they have a Funky Dividends?
So I asked about that. They had not. I said, we're going to have a conversation.
We need a Funky Dividend.
There's a Rock the Mic.
Of course.
Okay.
Yo, there's even a, if you guys remember this joint, Yeah, That's Us.
Major Figures.
Is there a Parents Just Don't Understand?
They said they're open. They are open to a Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince record, but it has not happened yet.
Did they have a PSK?
No, but they did have a Glamorous Life.
You got it.
If you're in Philly, go to Down North Pizza. Great guys, and had a great time there. We did a little package that's going to be airing before WrestleMania this weekend. It was a good time. So nice. Shout out to those guys. All right, guys, this is a different kind of guru we received today. Yeah. We've never gotten grandmother guru.
Okay.
Grandmother guru. Okay.
The guru at ebrointhemorning.com. Hello, everyone. Here is the issue. My granddaughter and her mother needed somewhere to stay. So being the grandmother, I allowed her to live with me. Okay. For 10 months, she had to only get herself right so her and her daughter could live on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, get herself right means a job, insured car, decent home, save some money, no partying or late nights out. I will babysit for her. I'll do laundry while you work, etc. No company at my home. So, anyways, my son and the girl broke up.
Mm-hmm.
But the grandchild needed somewhere to live.
Okay.
I get a phone call that she has company, a male, and they're smoking pot on my front porch. By the way, the male is not my son. It's another male.
Oh.
But a man I never met. And he was seen coming in and out of my house while I'm at work. My son finds out from someone else and calls me screaming how I let this woman live in my house and have her boyfriend over.
Right.
Am I wrong for asking her to leave to find somewhere else to live? Grandma.
Hell nah, Grandma. Kick her ass out.
Well, I mean, you got to set the rules.
She did set
the
rules. Did she set the rules?
Yeah, she said
sounds no like
company.
She did.
She said no company.
No company, no partying.
No partying. It sounds like company and partying to me.
And by the way, you bringing people over to my house.
I thought that was in her mind.
Huh?
I thought that was in her mind. Like, this is what her duties were. I don't know if she translated that.
I think she meant it was expressed. But I hear your confusion. I think it was expressed.
Plus, does it really have to be said?
That you shouldn't have company other than my son male company?
No, that you shouldn't be on my stoop smoking weed.
Right, yes. but not only that, but then the dude was coming in and out the house. Who is this dude? Right. Like, who is at my house? Like, what are we talking about?
Right. Yeah, she got to go.
It's hard because that's her grandma.
Grandma,
right?
You're being taken advantage of, and I'm glad your son is about to step in, and it's going to be problematic. Because I know if that was my mother.
Yeah.
And it was just my mom was like that. My mom would definitely rent a room to someone, right? And so if it was ever a problem, was my older mom going to actually say something?
You know.
And then things get heated and you go and step, and then you guys know where this goes.
Yeah, she has no respect for
you. Burn it down.
Or the household. I don't see any problems with what grandmom is asking. Is it okay for you to tell her to find someplace else to go? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
As long as you're comfortable with your granddaughter being someplace else.
I was about to say, that's the thing, though. So then the only issue is going to be she's going to go, you're going to have to trust this woman to bring your granddaughter to a safe place.
Right.
That's not there.
And obviously,
and she may guilt you
is because she doesn't have any, you know?
Right. So she may come back to you like, well, what am I supposed to do? You know? And then you're going to have to deal with that. You're not wrong, but it's also not going to be easy.
Right. No, it's not. How old's the granddaughter? Do we know?
We do not.
Yeah, if she's old enough, granddaughter can stay with you till mom's get on her feet. If you up for it.
Well, it's especially disrespectful too. I think there could be a conversation just about respecting the house, respecting, where you live. I think there's definitely people who don't have whatever that is, home training,
manner,
whatever you call that, to where it's like you're at someone else's house
and they're letting you stay there,
Ugh. And you in your brain go, oh, I could just have some people over. We just gonna chill outside and smoke weed.
Right.
And by the way, it sounds like the granddaughter's old enough to actually leave.
Yeah.
Right? It sounds like, why wouldn't you just, if you want to go smoke weed with your little boo or whoever this person is, go on with them and come home later.
So
you're clearly taking advantage. Your granddaughter's taking advantage of you because she knows you're at work.
No, not that's the granddaughter.
Yeah, I'm confused.
You're confused, Ebro. It's not the granddaughter.
Oh, no, the other lady.
The daughter-in-law.
The daughter-in-law. That's what I meant. Right. The daughter-in-law. Yeah.
All right, is there a
She's
world?
She's sloppy and messy.
Is there a world where she can say, hey, I'm not cool with this. If this happens one more time, you're out.
I think that does exist, only because it's going to be such a drastic measure to kick them out. You may want to do the, hey, can we sit down tonight? And when they sit down, you're like, here are the rules. If anything else happens, you are gone. That is it. It's not even about you and dating another person. It's about the respect for my house. It's about the respect for the granddaughter. Right.
Yeah.
And these are the
respect
I think
for my son.
I'm not mad about one taking more conversation. One more step. Yeah.
And when if it happens again, you have to put your foot down. You have to be serious about it, because or else she's not going to respect your home. She's going to continue to violate you. But I'm assuming it's a baby. I'm assuming it's a young child.
Right.
And I know she's involved. I think that I would go with one more and just literally just say, look, I'm not okay with this. If it happens again, you got to go.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
I know it's hard, but that's it, man. So give it a shot. I'm sorry you're going through this, but be very, very clear about your intentions and, you know, what your rules are. So say the gurus.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Strength, no weakness. We don't do weakness.
On the way, flashing lights, Laura Stiles. What you working on?
Coming up in the Flashing Lights report, Cardi B got into a back and forth with a social media influencer. Ice Spice jumped in. Mm. And wait till I tell you how all this ended. We'll cover it coming up, Flashing Lights.
Call right now if you want to beat the buzzer and get summer jams. We'll get you your money, I promise. Because we're going to cheat. You know how I get that. T-Bro Laura Rosenberg, Cast 197 Minutes, commercial free right now.
Heard they tight now. We both know they're miserable at home.
Ebro, Lauren, Roseberg, good morning. We're beating the buzzer. And on the line, trying to get money this time,
you have Sharon.
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 Hello. You ready to beat the buzzer, Sharon? Yes, we're here.
Yes,
you're on.
I am.
Here
yes,
we go. It's yes, about to happen yes, for yes. you. Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, okay, okay.
You know what to do, Sharon.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Shiny Culture, tee it up. It's time for Sharon to beat the buzzer. Let's work together, Sharon. Here we go.
$90.
Nah, that ain't it.
$160. $280. $330. $450.
Sharon? Yeah, $450. Sounding good. I like $450.
Nice. There you go.
I'm okay with $450. I'm all right with that.
There you go. Let's see what else was left in there. Let's see what it was.
$500.
Not bad.
$640.
$750. Ooh, ouch, ouch.
$800.
Come on, man. It went all the way to $800. Damn it, man. Wow. Damn it. Well, $450 is good, Sharon. It's all right.
I'm good with what I got.
Listen. You didn't get greedy. You didn't get enticed by these larger numbers. You came to get paid, and you got it. Plus, you are going to Summer Jam.
Summer Jam!
Doja Cat, David O, Offset, Red Method Man, and I'm hearing, and Friends. It's going to be a great time at the UBS Arena June 2nd. Everybody else, hit up Ticketmaster. Sharon, we love you. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for playing Beat the Buzzer.
Every morning. Thank you guys for making my commute the best.
All good. It's the least we could do. You keep us employed. We appreciate you. I got a mortgage to pay. Let's go. Flashing Lights, Laura Stiles.
Laura Stiles got the 411 on the flash lights. Lights.
Are you ready for the flashing lights? And Laura Stiles gonna put us on.
Great. So stay with me, okay? Because I'm going to try to summarize this as much as possible, because it was a lot of internet back and forth, okay? A social media influencer named Raymonte basically put out a video. He has a big following, and his whole argument is that he doesn't get any brand deals because people call him, quote unquote, too ghetto, right? Mm-hmm. And in some of his posts, he basically tried to bring, he mentions Cardi B, you know? Cardi B gets a hold of it and starts clapping back. His message was basically that he says, quote, I'm saying that you are successful and have reached heights that visibly black ghetto people have a harder time reaching. He's like, that's just like, I'm not saying you don't deserve success. He's like, I'm saying if someone that was my color or darker acts the same way, we will never receive the same awards or love. And you're being very dense. And he starts going on and on and on and on. But that was the main like chunk of his message. So, and at one point, I think he calls her Mexican. And she gets very offended by that and says,
well, because she's not Mexican.
You know, because not Mexican, you know. And then at one point he does say, listen, I'm from Minnesota. We don't have Afro-Latinos, like, and there's nothing wrong with being Mexican, but that's all I know. And then she mentions Ice Spice, like, you don't say that about Ice Spice. And then Ice Spice jumps in. And this is all on Twitter, guys. Ice Spice basically said, well, that's because one of my parents is Dominican and the other parent is black. And then, so then they, you know, Cardi ends up cleaning it up, and then she says, hey, why don't you post that picture that we took at the Vanity Fair party? Ice Spice posts the picture, and it's a really cute picture of them too. And she says, de lo mio, with a Dominican flag and a heart, basically saying, like, that's my people. Mm-hmm. And then it all ends up, because at first everyone thought they were going to start beefing, you know what I mean, because of Ice Spice's.
That's BX love right there. That's BX love.
But it wasn't like that. At the end, you know, look, if you read the tweets at the end, everybody is like, all right, understood, message received. We're good, but everyone was really talking about Ice Spice and Cardi B going at each other. And in reality, it was just a conversation, and they posted them together.
All she did was reference her, right, and say, say that about Ice Spice.
You wouldn't say that about Ice Spice.
And then Ice Spice gave some explanation maybe of why people don't say that.
Well, and also, too, I don't think Ice Spice's accent is as strong as Cardi B's.
No.
So I think Cardi B's accent's a little bit stronger. I think that's a part of why people obviously try to play like she's not black, she's only Spanish. But her mom's a whole black Trini woman. But
I ultra summarize this, by the way, because there was a lot of conversation about that.
But back to the guys, what's his name?
Raymonte.
And he has a lot of followers. He's like big.
Yeah. Yeah. He has like a big social media presence.
So I think comparing Cardi B to what he is leaving out, I think, and doing Cardi a disservice. Because when Cardi was just a stripper in the Bronx with a large IG following, she wasn't getting brand deals.
And she says that. She says that her brand deals were barely, like, she's like, I thought I made it because I had a $200 post from Fashion Nova. She's like, I struggled for a long time.
Right. The success of the music combined with the social media following is what, you know, in some ways forced corporations to probably want to deal with someone like Cardi B, right? Or even Megan Thee Stallion, who's, you know, from the hood, a black girl from the hood, and, you know, was, you know, rapping next to cars and then got the hit music to go along with it. So I think this guy's assertion is leaving out that piece. Cardi's not just an influencer. Ice Spice is, they aren't one-dimensional people with just one platform.
They have music. It took a long time.
Right. They have music. They have music videos. They're on award shows.
Seasons of a reality show.
Right. Like, so I think a lot of times, you know, people try to get in this entertainment game and they're looking at where things are today and thinking that's the whole story, and they're not really doing the knowledge. Yo, you're not running the Googles, fam. You don't really know how this whole thing played out over time, B. And that's why you got dealt with, Raymonte.
Yeah. But at the end, they cleared it, and it ended up in a positive note, which is
good. Well, now he might also get some brand deals because he out here getting his name out. Well, so it worked out for him.
I'm also annoyed when people use the, my bad, I know I called you, said you were Mexican. We don't have Afro-Latinos in Minnesota. Bro, you know not all Latino people are Mexican. I don't care if you live in Minnesota. There are people in Minnesota who know.
Well, how about that?
It's lazy to say all Latin people are Mexican.
But it also this, once again, you didn't run your Googles. You just start throwing stuff out.
Just went right to Mexican. And then it puts people in this awkward situation where people who aren't Mexican have to go, I'm not Mexican. And it's not because they're dissing Mexican people. It's just because people are lazy and call everyone Mexican.
Yeah. I mean, that's really it.
People are annoying, but
Laura, you're Mexican, right? Report.
I am not, though I do love them.
Don't say. We do love Mexico.
I do.
She loves Mexico.